Bill, my husband's birthday was
this past Thursday.
Yeah, we'll make him come up here. And I bought him exactly what he wanted. And it wasn't a power tool or a grilling brush or car mats or any of those other dad gifts. It was two tickets to the opening weekend of the Dickens Christmas Fair at the Cow Palace. It's a Bay Area institution, and it's a McIndoo tradition. You see, we really love Christmas at our house. And Christmas isn't Christmas unless we've seen at least 3 or 4 movie versions of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's a classic tale that's captured the imaginations of readers and viewers for over 175 years. Because it's hopeful and sometimes a dismal world. It's hopeful to see a total transformation of a cruel miser into a generous humanitarian. I've read that Charles Dickens' inspiration for the story was his own experience of his family being sent to debtor's prison when he was very young because his father owed some debts. Dickens went on to spend his adult life championing the cause of the poor, and his best effort to change hearts was in the form of the cautionary tale of Scrooge and Marley, forewarning ghosts, Tiny Tim, and the Cratchit family. So just as a refresher, if you're not as up on A Christmas Carol as I am, the main character is Ebenezer Scrooge. He's a stingy businessman whose partner, Jacob Marley, died 7 years prior. On Christmas Eve, Scrooge is visited by his nephew and 2 gentlemen that are trying to raise money for the poor, but he sends them away angrily and begrudgingly allows his one employee, the long-suffering Bob Cratchit, to take Christmas Day off from work, only because everybody else does. That night, Scrooge is visited by Marley's ghost, who shows up wearing chains, and he tells Scrooge that these were forged by his greed during his lifetime. And he comes warning Scrooge to change his ways, or he too will roam the earth burdened by these heavy chains. And that night, 3 more ghosts come to visit him, the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. He's shown visions of his youth, of present day and other people's lives, and he's given a glimpse of his own future where he has shown a poor couple who owe him money, and they're very relieved by his death. The ghostly revelations let Scrooge realize that he has put money first. He has not valued human life or companionship. He's been a real jerk. But he gets a second chance. Not so true of the rich man today, the main character in our parable from our story in Luke. Jesus, too, was a master storyteller, knowing that stories were a way to invoke emotion and change hearts. Jesus' audience was comprised of the powerful and the powerless, and I'm sure upon hearing this, they were left with this feeling of starkness, of the consequences of a life lived with no thought for others. But the story of Scrooge today But like the story of Scrooge, today's parable is a cautionary tale. And although it ends badly for the rich man, it does have a happier ending for Lazarus, who is the most compromised character of the story. Today's parable is a story of 2 worlds, the haves and the have-nots. On one side is a rich guy wearing purple, like royalty, and he's feasting every day. We can imagine him surrounded by beautiful and expensive art and served by chefs and butlers and servants. His parties are populated by the rich and famous, and his estate is surrounded by a big security wall to keep out the riffraff, but also to block his view from the unsightly poverty on the other side. There's a big gate that lets in deliveries and guests, but on the outside of this gate, he's a poor man named Lazarus, and he's homeless, and he's sick, and he's covered in sores.
and forgotten by society. He's passed over again and again by the rich man. Lazarus eventually dies from probably exposure or malnutrition or both. No one notices on earth, but he's carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man dies too. He probably has a big fancy and well-attended funeral with flowers and a procession a mile long. But in Hades, the place of the dead, the rich man finds himself in the opposite circumstances that he enjoyed in life. He has no servants, he has no comfort, no power, and he's very unhappy and uncomfortable. He looks up and he spies Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he shouts out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus over here to bring me some water. It's so hot in here." But Abraham says, "No, remember in your lifetime you had it all and Lazarus had nothing. And you didn't get him anything. And now he is comforted and you are in agony. Besides, now that you're dead, there's a huge gap between us, and there's no way to pass between here and there." The man realizes his horrible mistakes and he begs, "Father Abraham, it's too late for me, but please send Lazarus to my five brothers and sisters. Let him warn them that they could change before they find themselves in this terrible predicament." But Abraham says, "No, your siblings have all they need to make the right choices. They too have Moses and the prophets to help them navigate this life. They should listen to them, because they probably won't be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Here there's no happy ending for the rich man, just regret, because it's too late to change. It's the end. No wonder Dickens' story provides a happier alternative ending. There's so many scriptural references and examples of God's love and concern for the poor. Not that God doesn't love everybody, but God has spoken in many ways and at many times of the preferential treatment for the poor, the widows and the orphans. We heard that in our psalm today. The strangers and the refugees, because God knows that humanity may not always choose to take care of its own. And we may need reminding. God also speaks to us about money through Jesus. "Don't store up riches on earth, and it's harder for a rich man to enter heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle." Jesus isn't saying that money and material things are bad in and of themselves. No, it's how we use them or how we don't use them that creates this huge chasm between those who have and those who have so little. So Jesus's parable today is an invitation, really. It's an invitation for us to look at life around us. Where do we see affluence that's not paying attention to the least of us? Who are the Lazaruses in our own communities? Jesus reminds us over and over again that all of humanity is connected to creation, to our Creator. Each one of us is blessed with gifts, different kinds of gifts, but they can all move the needle of compassion in the world to do the work that Jesus came to do. We know that Jesus continuously calls the world into transformation. Many of us know all about that because we live transformed lives by God's grace. That miracle alone shines in us. We serve as inspiration to live compassionately toward God's children. All of humanity has the capacity for transformation. Because everybody should shout joyfully as Scrooge did at the end of A Christmas Carol. "I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy." As we live for God's kingdom,
In Jesus' name, amen.